Blog Talk Radio.
It hardly seems like a year ago that I packed my bags and some money I'd saved. I had a yearning to find myself and to see this land of the free and the brave. I saw my first mountain sunrise from an Appalachian range. I felt a heavenly presence and a rushing wind of change. I am an American man, I'm made of American dreams. I am an American man, returning to the things the land, who toil with their hands for an honest day's wage. I've seen the stuff from which legends were born, and destinies reached, and histories made. It seems we've come to a crossroads, all our standards are compromised. I pray that our lady liberty will awaken before she dies.
I am
Deeper Truth, 54-Day Prayer for America. When America is strong, the world is safer. Today is September the 2nd, 2022. And for this novena, today is day 14. That's for Deeper Truth. Now, Grace Force, today would be day 15. So, what an opportunity this is for all of us as Americans to pray and intercede for America. And so, and September is a, this is what we're doing today with prayer for the dedication for America is Our Lady of Sorrows. The seven sorrows of Mary are: one, Saint Simeon's prophecy. Number two, the flight into Egypt. Number three, the loss of Jesus in the temple. Four, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the way to Calvary. Number five, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Number six, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. Picture of the Pietà. And seven, the burial of Jesus. According to St. Alphonsus de Liguori, from his The Glories of Mary, it was revealed to St. Elizabeth that at the request of Our Lady, our Lord promised a number of principal graces to those devoted to her sorrows, to our mother's ladies, Our Lady, her sorrows. One, I will grant peace to their families. Number two, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Three, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work. Number four, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Number five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. Number six, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Seven, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven, and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. And the month of September is dedicated to the seven sorrows of Mary. And so, hence the novena to the seven sorrows of Mary. And so, and each day, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pope Pius VII approved a series of prayers in honor of the seven sorrows for daily meditation in 1815. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And I grieve for thee, O Mary, most sorrowful, in the anguish of your most affectionate heart during the flight into Egypt and your sojourn there. Dear Mother, by your heart so troubled, obtain for me the virtue of generosity, especially towards the poor, and the gift of piety. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Virgin, most sorrowful, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And let us pray. Let intercession be made for us, for America. We beseech thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, now and at the hour of our death, before the throne of your mercy, by the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother, whose most holy soul was pierced with a sword of sorrow in the hour of your bitter passion. We ask this through you, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth, world without end. Amen. And so, pray for mothers who will give birth today. Pray for mothers who will give birth today. And so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My God, I believe, adore, hope, and I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. My God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because you're all good and deserving of all my love. And I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Sweet Mother Mary, I offer you this spiritual communion to bind my bouquet in a wreath to place upon your brow. O my Mother, look with favor upon my gift, and in your love, obtain for me what I in our interceding for America, for my healing and my wife Gigi's healing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of America, you asked that the United States of America be the country dedicated to your purity, and that your children in America be the children of your pure heart. Please intercede for us that we may be granted this grace with morally good leaders, strong leaders who will act according to the revealed will of God and the foundational principles of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. Hail, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, my Mother, hail. At your feet I humbly kneel to offer you a crown of roses, snow-white buds to remind thee of your joys, each bud recalling to you a holy mystery, each 10 bound together with my R petition for particular grace, the return of America, to pray for America. O Holy Queen, dispenser of God's graces and mother of all who invoke you, you cannot look upon my gift and fail to see its binding. As you receive my great gift, so will you receive my petition. From your bounty, you will give me the favor I so earnestly and trustingly seek. I despair of nothing that I ask of you. Show yourself my mother. When America is strong, the world is safer. Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, intercede for us, your children in America, as we pray for our nation, our military, and our families. We pray for our government leaders that they will make just decisions and govern us in accordance with truth and the principles upon which our nation was founded. We ask protection for those serving in the military and for our first responders. Bless them and their families as they sacrifice themselves to keep us safe. We pray for our families in a culture that seeks to destroy the morals and values upon which this country was founded. May our families be united in faith and charity. and for the strength and unity of our church, and for the protection of the family and our nation. Reclaim this great country for your son's glory, that under his protection and guidance, we may stand together as a people of faith and trust in him for the changes we seek. O blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We ask forgiveness for our offenses against you. We seek your loving care for all our needs and requests. You have blessed our nation and given us countless gifts, our freedom and the ability to seek your will every day are among our dearest possessions. But in turning away from you, we not only risk the loss of all our country has stood for, but we also offend you, who are all good and deserving of all our love. And we offer to you this novena we are making as Americans. We ask that you hear us, and through your fathomless mercy, convert the hearts of our people and bring them back to you. May our land once more ring out with praise of you and the most loving Virgin Mary, to whom we have entrusted the petitions of this novena. Most holy God, we thank you for hearing us. May our hearts praise you forevermore. Amen. Dear Jesus, allow the truth of holy love to flood the heart of this nation. Place truth in the center of every heart. Return this nation to its rightful place under the dominion of God. Amen. Dear Jesus, inspire the hearts of legislators to bring fairness into every law. In so doing, inspire lawmakers to remove contradiction from laws concerning life in the womb, so that no one is forced to support contraception or abortion against their free will. Do not allow religious freedom to be trampled under the feet of those who favor death in the womb. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world searching for the ruinous souls. Amen. Mother of our Creator, pray that we receive the gift of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people perish for want of knowledge. Since you yourselves have rejected knowledge, so I shall reject you from my priesthood, since you have forgotten the teaching of your God. I, in my turn, shall forget your children. And just consider, just looking here real quick in Colossians. You go to Colossians chapter 7:14. If my people, this is Second Chronicles, chapter 7:14, and this is so many people are familiar with this piece of this text, this scripture. 7:14, Second Chronicles, chapter 7:14. And this is important. It is important. Because if we turn back to him, he will forgive us. It says, for now I have... if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what we, as Americans, should be praying and standing with. But look at what it says, the warning that it gives in verse 19. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from the land which I have given you, and this house which I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house, which is exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this thus to this land, and to this house? Then they will say, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this evil upon them. Hence the reason we are interceding and praying for America. Because what we have allowed in this country, the compromise we have allowed, the desecration of the family, the destruction of the family, and the compromise that we see among religious leaders. And people we pray, Lord, for your guidance. We pray for all this, Lord. We pray for you to hold fast to us. We judge all things according to the divine truth. St. Augustine said that. St. Thomas Aquinas, a scrap of knowledge about sublime things is worth more than any amount about trivialities. St. Thomas Aquinas. And St. Bernard said, there are some who desire knowledge merely for its own sake, and that is shameful curiosity. And there are others who desire to know in order that they may themselves be known. And that is vanity, disgraceful too. Others, again, desire knowledge in order to acquire money or preferment by it. That too is in a discreditable quest. That is a discreditable quest. But there are also some who desire knowledge that they may build up the souls of others with it, and that is charity. Others, again, desire it that they may themselves be built up thereby, and that is prudence. Of all these types, only the last two, knowledge to the right use. Which one would be the first one? There would be for charity, they will build up the souls of others with it, with the knowledge. That would be charity. And others, again, desire that they may themselves be built up thereby, and that is prudence. And so, through that charity and through that prudence, this knowledge is being put to the right use. And so, the gift of knowledge, one of the seven infused gifts by the illuminating action of the Holy Spirit, it perfects the virtue of faith. It gives a person the ability to judge everything from a supernatural viewpoint. The object of this gift is the whole spectrum of created things insofar as they lead one to God. Through infused knowledge, the faithful can see the providential purpose of whatever enters their lives, and they are able to put creatures to the right use according to God's will for themselves and for others. Sometimes called the science of the saints, it enables those who have the gift to discern easily and effectively between the impulses of temptation and the inspirations of grace. And this is coming from Father John Hardin, Modern Catholic Dictionary. So prayers for the traditional novena for grace force. Prayer at the end of the rosary, after each decade, after the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer for the first decade, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of humility and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then after the second mystery, after the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer for that decade, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of charity and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then after the third mystery, after the Fatima prayer, this concluding prayer of the third decade, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of detachment from the world and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then after the fourth decade, the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer for that decade, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of purity and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then following the fifth decade and the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer for this decade, I bind these snow-white buds with the petition for the virtue of obedience to the will of God and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And how beautiful this is. And so the mission, the United States Grace Force, is a special operations force, a special operations force specifically trained in spiritual warfare and intercessory prayer. United States Grace Force includes the large-scale use of powerful supernatural weapons like the rosary and prayers. While there are various special operations, the primary mission of the United States Grace Force is to implore God's protection and blessing on our nation, especially imploring God's protection for those who put their lives on the line to protect and defend our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that we would hold fast, hold the line, to walk the line.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me
give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
The sacrament of the anointing of the sick, one of the seven sacraments. James chapter 5, 13 to 15 states, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. I was brought up to understand that a sacrament was an outward sign of the inward grace we receive through what I will call the Lord's outreach to his people. Certainly in my life, the sacraments have been a lifeline. While stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I used to go to St. Michael's Catholic Church in Oak Grove, just outside of the military post. I was very involved with the parish through the Knights of Columbus, the RCIA, and the youth group there, CCD, Bible studies. Ivan would take my 53-inch TV to present good Catholic programs after the Saturday night mass. Without a doubt, one of the greatest honors I have ever received was given me by Father David, the opportunity to go with him when he would go on a call to administer the anointing of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Because I was in the medical field, he liked having me along with him. In the ancient world, oil was used for medication. Through Father's ministry, the Lord worked miracles of healing. I first remember this great sacrament offered to my mother when I was in college. My mother was in the latter 1960s, was hit by a car broadside as it went through a red light. My mother had her back broken a number of places, and for about a year, I had to live with relatives while Mom recuperated. For years, my mother suffered from severe headaches, spinal taps, and loss of mobility. I remember Mom would be in her garden moving from one plant to the next, kind of scooting along, making her way. She could barely walk. One day at Mass, Father Bill invited anyone who had been sick to come up for this great sacrament. Mom went up along with about 12 other people, and when Father came to her, the latter explained, she felt a warming sensation that went through her body, throughout her body. And from that time on, Mom was able to move around in at a much greater mobility, and she never complained again of the headaches. That was the first time I was exposed to something that God sometimes does to intervene in the life of his people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 states, "And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people." Jesus, through the ministry of his Catholic Church, continues this great work of healing, especially spiritual healing. This certainly gives greater light to Mark chapter 6, verse 13, which states, "They, the apostles, drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." St. James is recognizing the presbyter as a true agent of God in the ministry of the 12 apostles. That is the connection between St. James and Mark's context. Father David and all Catholic priests whom I served holds the same apostolic ministry. This sacrament is the true extension of the Lord's healing hand. Jesus is working within his ministry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Through the ministry of the church, Jesus is fully alive and active in our lives. I have long seen this scripture as important to Catholic teaching and need of the priesthood. It is quite noticeable that a presbyter is called upon to offer this great sacrament. Hence, the dreaded middleman, some of my Protestant friends would reject. Also, through the action of the priest, the person's sins are forgiven, just as in the sacrament of confession. What a great blessing we have in this great sacrament. My mother was able to do far more in her 50s than she ever was in her 40s. When I lived in Harrison, Arkansas in the early 1980s, the Catholic priest, Father Misick, of the parish there told me of the time he was just ordained a young priest serving in northern Arkansas in a mission territory. He was instructing an elderly lady who was coming to him learning about the Catholic faith. One night, he receives a call from a daughter of this lady who asked for him to see her mother. She had been in a coma for 5 days, had not eaten anything or had anything to drink. When Father arrived, he administered baptism to the lady and then administered the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And just as Father completed the task, the lady opened her eyes and sat up saying, "Thank God, thank you, Father." This totally surprised Father, as well as the family. For me, helping Father David at St. Michael's only reinforced my beliefs. I would see this great sacrament offered for both my mother and also my wife, and now finally for myself. In our time, this sacrament is being offered for those who are not only dying or very sick, but also for those preparing for a major surgery. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 states, "He himself bore our sins in his body and on the tree, that he might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus sent out his church to go to all the nations with each and every one in you in mind. God our Father loves you even as he loves the Son. And what a great message of hope this is. The blessing of oils is performed by the bishop of each diocese on Holy Thursday of Holy Week in the cathedral during the Chrism Mass. The oils are maintained in either metal or glass bottles called chrismatories. These vessels are then stored in a cabinet called an abbey, which is usually fixed to the wall of the sanctuary. Priests also have a portable oil stock, which has a section for each of the three holy oils. And so you see that in every Catholic diocese and parish, and from the bishop, these holy oils. And so that's what they use for anointings, the anointing of the sick, and also for prayer to elevate from lay person to become a deacon or to become a priest or a bishop. These are used for ordination, to ordain, but also to heal. So these are all wonderful. And it begins with Jesus and his apostles through their successors. And so these are battles. These are weapons the Lord gives the church.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to thee. Thanks for the miracle of your rosary. Only you can hold back your holy Son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Pray
at the hour of our death.
And thanks once again for the miracle of your rosary.
Oh, beautiful for space. For amber waves of May, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain.
America, America, God shed His grace on thee. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruiting plains. America, America, God. Shed His grace on thee, and He crowned thy good with brotherhood of sea and shining sun.
The lily.
die to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. While God is marching on.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key said, watching it right and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on there. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg. And the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
God bless America.
I was there in the winter of 64. When we camped in the ice at Nashville's door, 300 miles our trail had led. We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. I died with a grape shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace, for every fallen son. Set my spirit free, let me lay down my gun. Sweet Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired. In June of 1944, I waded in the blood of Omaha's shores. 21 and scared to death, my heart pounding in my chest. I almost made the first seawall when my friends turned and saw me fall. I still smell the smoke, I can taste the mud as I lay there dying from a loss of blood.
And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you, and it may hurt still today, but there ain't no doubt. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand.